Okay, I want to welcome you all to this week's edition of Biblical People, Places, and Things. I want to thank the sponsors who are hosting. I also want to recognize the fact that this year is a creative process, and it begins with a certain understanding. And that understanding within which we've been working for many, many years is the understanding that biblical people, places, and things don't haphazardly come up. If something appears in a particular Sefer, then that person, that place, or that thing has to be here for a particular purpose. And it's a purpose that's relevant not only to the central message of the Sefer, but it's also important for you and me sitting here in the year 2015, Tav Shen Ayin Hey. This week is Shavuos, and so I'd like to focus on Megillas Rus. And there is one character who we have not touched over the years, who carries a tremendous, tremendous role in his being, or perhaps the fact that he is not identified in the Megillah too clearly. And his name is Pliny Almoni. So let's roll up our sleeves and get involved with Pliny Almoni. Who's Pliny Almoni, you'll ask? I don't know, right? The fact of the matter is we don't know who Pliny Almoni is. We meet him in the fourth parak of Rus. It's source number one on the sheets in front of you. Pasuk tells us, Boaz Allah Hashar. Boaz, after his whole debate with Rus overnight in the Goren, in the threshing floor, he goes down to the gate. Vayeshev Shem, and he sits there. Vinei, and behold, Hagoel Over, the Redeemer is coming. Who is this Redeemer, and why is he referred to as Hagoel? Let's just put them on the table as questions one and two. Asher Diber Boaz, this is the one that Boaz spoke about in the threshing floor, by Yomer Suru Shvo Po Pliny Almoni. She says, come here, sit here, Pliny Almoni. By Yasar Vayeshev, and sort of like reticently, this Pliny Almoni character sits down and follows through. Doesn't know why, doesn't know what, doesn't know how. Seems to be somewhat reticent. Vayikach Asaran Hashem Yizikney Ha'ir. And Boaz takes 10 more people and he has them sit down. Now remember, we're only focused on the Goel, on Pliny Almoni. So what Boaz is doing here is irrelevant to me. So anyway, he says to the Goel, he tells the Goel the story that there was a field and the field belonged to our brother Elimelech. And Naomi had to sell that field. Vani Amarti, and Boaz says, I said to myself, Agalaz Necha Lemor, I would let you know, Kenai Neged Ayoshim, V'neged Zeknei Ami. Right? Go ahead and acquire it. Im Tegol Gaal, redeem it. Vim Lo Yigal, Hagidali. Veidoa, Kien Zulasecha Lego, Vani Acharecha. If your intention is not to go ahead and do this, so then tell me that too. Because I'm the one who gets to choose afterwards. Vayomer, so Pliny Almoni decides, Anochi Agoel, I'm going to serve to be the Redeemer. So given the opportunity to step up to the plate, Pliny Almoni chooses to step up, at least in this issue, in the financial matter. Vayomer Boaz, so Boaz says to him, Biyom Kenoscha Asada Miyad Naomi, Umiyad Rus HaMoavia, Eishas HaMeis, Kanisa L'Hakim Shem HaMeis HaNachlasa. He says, look, if you want to step up to the plate, it's not a half-half deal. When you step up to the plate, you have to step up fully. And so you're going to also have to go ahead and marry and perform Yibum with Rus. Vayomer Agoel, and all of a sudden, Pliny Almoni turns around and he heads in 180-degree turnaround. Vayomer Agoel, lo uchal goli penash chises nachlasi. I cannot go ahead and redeem, because it may destroy my nachala. Ge'al lecha. Ata, you go ahead, you go proceed. Es geula si, ki lo uchal legol. You go do the geula, I cannot go ahead, I lack the ability to go ahead and do so. Vizos lefnim b'Yisrael ala geula ve'ala temura. And this was the style once upon a time. They went ahead and they made kinyanim, l'kayim kol davar shalaf ishna alo, to be able to be mekayim, a position, to go ahead and show that something was indeed the way it was set aside to be. You either took off your shoe, your glove, depends on how you choose to translate the word now. And Vizos Hatudah B'Yisrael. Vayomer HaGoel. So Pliny Almoni says, Leboaz Kineilach. You go ahead and you proceed. Vayishlof Na'alo. This is the entirety of the Ploni Almoni that we appear and come up with in the Book of Rus. I don't know what this Vihine is all about. I don't know how he manages to just appear. It sounds like, Hine Huba! What's the big deal? Why was he just passing through? And why is that important to the Megillah? I don't know why he keeps getting referred to as HaGoel. What's he supposed to be the one who's supposed to redeem? Why does he remain nameless in the Megillah? At best, we find him named Ploni Almoni. Does he have a name? But I have a more fundamental question. He seems to be very concerned with his Nachala. On the one hand, he cares about his family and his future. On the other hand, he runs away from it when family obligations come to a head. What's going on with him? And finally, these eight psukim that introduce us to Perek Dalet are so superfluous to the central core story of Rus and Nahami. Why do they need to be in our Megillah in any capacity whatsoever? What do we gain by having this section in our Megillah? So I think in order to start to take apart and peel back the layer a little bit on who Ploni Almoni is, was, etc., let's try to figure out what family does he come from? Tell us anything we know about him. So there's a Rashi, correct? You're right, this Rashi, source number two in front of you, where Rashi tells us that Elimelech, Salmon Avi Boaz, and Ploni Almoni HaGoel ve'Avi Naami Kulam b'dei Nachshon ben Ami Nadav hayu. The fact of the matter is, Rashi tells us that Ploni Almoni was Boaz's uncle, as, by the way, was Elimelech, as was Naomi's father as well. And all of them shared a common father, and their common father was none other than the great Nachshon ben Ami Nadav. And the other source we find as to the relationship of Ploni Almoni and the other characters in Megillas Rus, we have Machlokas in Rus Rabba. Rus Rabba identifies, first of all, Tov, which is a reference to Ploni Almoni, Elimelech, and Boaz Achim. That Tov was not his uncle, was not Boaz's uncle, but rather Tov was his older brother, as was Elimelech. And the fact of the matter is that he's identified here with a name, and that name is Tov. What does Tov mean? That's right, it means good. That's absolutely correct. So how could a name that becomes Tov get wiped out of a Megillah and change the individual into Ploni Almoni, who in the reference of Rashi is Ploni Almoni HaGoel? Why not refer to him as Tov? So important in fact, if you look at the Ibn Ezra just quite honestly dismisses the fact that Ploni Almoni's name could have been Tov. Allow me to ask one other question, just parenthetically. Is there any connection to anything about Nachshon ben Ami Nadav that's relevant to this whole Ploni Almoni and Megillas Rus situation? I mean, obviously, other than the fact that he was the father and this is the line of Melucha, but is there anything we can take away from there, something to put in the back of your head? So we know who the man is. That is to say, we know what his family life is. He has some sort of familial relationship to the background of Nachshon ben Ami Nadav, and he's either the uncle or the brother of Boaz. So why is he so concerned Penashchis as Nachlasi? Right, because he wants to not lose, you know, with Rus. But what was that concern all about? Right. So slow down. I think that too is a matter of a difference of opinion. There's a Medrash in Rus Rabba that points out, it's source number three in front of you. Boaz Allah Hashar Vayeshev Sham. Boaz went up to the gate and he sat there. Vinei Goel Over Asher Diber Boaz. Ma, and what was it that he saw? So first of all, the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rushed him over. Why is that? Because he wanted him to recognize who you're supposed to be. Rabbi Shu Omer Ploni Almoni Shemo, his name was Ploni Almoni. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar, Ilem Hayami Divrei Torah. He was scared. Amar Hari, and therefore mute from the words of Torah. Amar Hari Shonim Lo Meisu Ela Al Yedei Shenit Lu Osam. Shenat Lu Osam. The earlier ones, in other words, Machlon and Kilion, died Why? Because they married these Moabite women. Vani olech litla, and I'm going to go marry her also. What's going to happen to me? Chasli litla, less anam ha'arviv zarosai, eni ma'arviv solos bibonai. He was concerned about his children. He didn't want to go ahead and put this Moabite seed into his own lineage. His concern was not personal. His concern was familial. The Targum offers an even more difficult answer if we're going to castigate Pliny Almoni as a negative. It says the Targum V'Omar HaGoel, Ki Hai Gavna Les Ana Yachol Amifrak Li Al Disli Itzisa. I can't go ahead and do Geula over here because I have a wife. So Les Li Rishu L'Mesa V'Achronaisa Allah. I don't have permission to marry another woman. So when he says Penashchisas Nachlasi, and we castigate Pliny Almoni, we castigate him for what? For being concerned about his wife and kids? Does that seem fair? Is that something logical? What exactly is going on with this Pliny Almoni episode? What exactly are we supposed to take away as we're learning this Megillah? So those of you who've been learning with me for a while know that we have something that I like to call the Wenger Corollary. The Wenger Corollary, which is too long to explain why right now, asks the question what the words Pliny Almoni mean. That is to say, sometimes within a name, if we identify what a name means, we perhaps will identify the purpose of that person within a particular sefer and within our lives as well. So what does the words Pliny Almoni mean? And Rashi jumps right up to the plate and takes a swing with his bat to try to show us exactly and offer an opinion on the matter. Take a look at source number 4. Rashi says, Pliny Almoni miturgam b'neviim kasi v'tamir, that in Navi he's referred to as covered and hidden. Pliny, the word Pliny means mechusa v'nalam. It's covered and hidden. Like the pasuk says, ki palei davar mimcha l'mishpat. And Almoni comes from the Lashon Bibeli shame, that he doesn't have a name. So he's hiding something. He's anonymous, whatever it is. But what's he hiding? What is Kasi V'Tamir all about? So we've got all of our questions about this person. We don't know what he's doing in our Megillah. We don't know why he's here. We don't know how he mysteriously appears. We know that he's selfless but selfish, concerned about his family and his wife. But yet he has a connection to Nachshon ben Aminadav's family. Sometimes he's Tov, sometimes he's not. What's the deal with Pliny Almoni? What's being hidden from you and me? I think in order to answer our questions, maybe we need to look at the other two places where we find in Tanakh a reference to Pliny and Almoni. The first one's in the book of Malachim. It's actually the second one. But for purposes here, let's take a look at it first. Umelech Aram hayanucham b'Yisrael, source number 5, it's Malachim Beis Perek Vav, that the king of Aram was fighting with the Jewish people. V'yivreitz alav odav le'mor al-makom Pliny Almoni tachanosi. I want you to go ahead and set up an ambush in a place called Pliny Almoni. V'yishlach ish elokim al-melech Yisrael le'mor. So the Navi Elisha sent a message to the king, telling him to watch out from going to the place called Pliny Almoni. Why? Because there is a siege over there. So the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Melech Yisrael al Hamakom Asher Amar Lo Ish Elokim V'Ziro V'Nishma Sham Lo Achas V'Lo Shtayim," that everyone was careful, and they managed to stay out the ambush. And Melech Aram got very angry in pasuk Yalef, and he calls to his servants. And Vayomer Aleihem, Halo Tagidu Li, Mi Mishalanu El Melech Yisrael. Who's the WikiLeak? Who's giving away our position? Who is turning out to be the Geraldo Rivera, telling everyone where we're hiding? Vayomer Echad Me Avadav. So one of the Avadim of the king of Aram said, Lo Adoni Amelech. I want you to understand it doesn't work like that, king. Why? Ki Elisha Hanavi Asher B'Yisrael Yagid LeMelech Yisrael Sadvarim Asher Tedaber B'Chadar Mishkavcha. You need to understand something, that even Elisha, when he speaks, when you speak in your room, Elisha knows about it. There, Pliny Almoni is not a reference to a person. there, Pliny Almoni is a reference to a place, but it's a significant place. And the question I want to ask you is, why is that place significant? Something was revealed in that place. It was revealed by a Navi. How does that connect to our Pliny Almoni and what is or isn't revealed about him? Right? Mm-hmm. Take a look. You may be onto something. Hold on. Let's hit the other spot, because it's a little bit more detailed. The other place where we come into Pliny Almoni actually involves David HaMelech. Now, I know. David HaMelech is certainly the ultimate goal that we're trying to hit in the Book of Rus. But here, the Pliny Almoni aspect of David HaMelech's involvement is a little different than the part you would assume. Take a look at source number 6. It's in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, the first couple of psukim, where David HaMelech goes to Nov. And when he comes to Nov, Pasuk Beis, Vayavo David Nova El Achimelech HaKohen, David HaMelech comes by himself to Achimelech in Nov. Vayecharad Achimelech Likras David, and Achimelech gets very nervous when he has a chance to greet David. Vayomer lo, so he says to him, Maduat halavadecha v'ish enitach, why are you all alone? There's no group around you. There is the entourage. Vayomer David l'achimelech ha-kohen ha-melech tzivani davar, the king has given me his secret. Vayomer elai ish al yeda me'uma esa davar ashar anochi sholeichacha, nobody should know about the thing that I'm sending you to. Vasher and I don't want anyone to be with you, and so therefore I'm coming to have you speak to Achimelech alone. And where are the people? They are in Mekom Pliny Almoni. What is that place of Pliny Almoni? What does David HaMelech go on to do? So David HaMelech asks Achimelech to do 3 things for him. He asks him for bread. And unfortunately, as the Pesukim tell us, Achimelech didn't have any bread except for the Lechem Apanim from the Shulchan and the Mishkan. And David HaMelech asks to take it. And so he receives the loaves from the Lechem Apanim. And then David HaMelech turns around and he asks for a sword. And he receives a weapon. And then finally, the 3rd thing that he asks is for permission to know how to proceed. And so he asks a Shaila from the Urim V'Tumim. Of the 3, which of them do you think is probably the most difficult? Which of the ones would see and appear to be most seditious? Right. Obviously the sword, you'd think, right? Uh-huh. But that's actually not the way it is. You see, sitting outside at the Mishkan was Shaul HaMelech's trusted general, Doeg Ha'adomi, who in Chazal is identified as quite a knowledgeable individual. Indeed, the Alkut Shimoni in source 6a recognizes that when people used to come into contact with Doeg, he would send them away red embarrassed because they knew that he knew halacha better than they did. And he could outlearn everybody. But there are other things that are identified with Doeg Ha'adomi. Doeg Ha'adomi would go out of his way to try to cut off David HaMelech. He was quite vengeful for David HaMelech. And he turns around and he runs to Shaul HaMelech and he says to Shaul HaMelech, it's not the sword. He runs to Shaul HaMelech and he says, Asisa David Melech b'chayecha, says the Yalkut in source 6a. Doeg says to Shaul, did you appoint David Melech Yisrael? He says, no, what are you talking about? He says, I thought, Ein Shalom b'urim b'tumim el l'melech. B'David hu nishal b'urim b'tumim. In a disgusting act, then Doeg Ha'adomi reveals that what? Yeah. He reveals to Shaul HaMelech that David HaMelech went to ask the Urim V'Tumim. And that the only ones who are allowed to ask the Urim V'Tumim are the king and the Sanhedrin. And what happens? So as soon as that happens, and he couches it as an act of rebellion, which of course, you know, brings out a tremendous degree of jealousy in Shaul HaMelech. Rav Ovadia Yosef cites a medrash in Tehillim Rabbah, which is in source 6b in front of you. Rav Ovadia is a wonderful commentary on Megillas Rus. That commentary is in the back of Chazon Ovadia on Yontif. So anyway, he turns to him and he adds a little bit less, more to the story. A critical addition that there was a debate because the David HaMelech was able to ask the question because as Achimelech tries to prove to Shaul HaMelech, he says, Levishain Sholem Be'urim Be'tumim Ela LaMelech LeBeizdin. That's true, like Doeg said. But there's a third category of individual who's allowed to go ahead and ask questions to Urim Betumim. Ulami Shitzachei Rabim Tuluyim Bo. If there's somebody who, for the needs of the people, needs to ask the Urim Betumim, he is allowed to go ahead and ask the Urim Betumim. Well, David HaMelech was one of those people, says Achimelech. I thought that when he came, he's a person who serves the people, he's involved with the people, he should be allowed to ask the Urim Betumim a question. Doeg HaAdomi says Rav Ovadia continued to insist that this was an act of rebellion because the idea of Misha Tzarchei Arabim Tuluyim Bo is not a reason to allow somebody to ask Urim Vetumim. So therefore, when David HaMelech proceeded, he proceeded to ask the Urim Vetumim as a sign of rebellion. You can imagine how Shaul HaMelech felt. So Shaul HaMelech insisted on sending the Shaila out. And people continued to support the position of Achimelech, of the Kohen Gadol. Notwithstanding, Doeg HaDomi was called upon, and a death sentence was pronounced over Achimelech and over the entire city of Nov. So Shaul turns to Avner ben Ner, and he turns to Amasa ben Yeser, and he says, kill them. And they refuse. They decided that David HaMelech was correct. They decided that Achimelech's excuse was plausible, that David HaMelech met the criteria of Hatzarchi Rabin Talibo, and as a result, they refused. And then all the other legions and all the other soldiers also refused. And as a result, Doeg HaAdomi himself wiped out 85 men on one day. No say Eifod Bad. So if I stopped and I took a look at the other Ploni Almoni reference, this reference with the Midrashim, the way we just learned it, this Ploni Almoni reference seems to suggest that when David HaMelech went from Makom Ploni Almoni, he went with a difference of opinion and walked right into a Machlokas. A Machlokas that, by the way, the Rambam Paskins, like David Melech Yisrael, not like Doeg. Who's allowed to talk and question the Urim V'tumim? Amalech, yes. Sanhedrin, yes. Umisha Rabim Tzrichim Lo. Question has to be asked, is there any sort of difference? Well, the fact is that Doeg HaAdomi had another problem with David HaMelech. What was his other problem with David HaMelech? He decided that David HaMelech was not only roy to be a member of a ruling party, he decided that David HaMelech was not able to go ahead and join the Jewish people because of the principle of Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, to which he challenged that it's indeed not accurate. And so once again, we find the same struggles in the time of Rus were true in the time of David as well. The question has to be raised. Rashi turns around and tells us that there is a component here about Ploni Almoni that's reminiscent of that other episode of Ploni Almoni. Rashi, at the beginning of the fourth parak of Rus, it's source number 7 in front of you, argues that what does it mean he's Ploni Almoni? Lo nechtav shemo. Why is his name not written? Levishalo avaligol. He wanted to stay anonymous. He did not answer the call of Misha Rabim Tzrichim Lo. And a person who doesn't want to answer the call of Misha Rabim Tzrichim Lo is such a person who is not able and not deserving of the being able to ask the Urim V'tumim. He doesn't get his name inside. I'd like to suggest that maybe that's what being a Ploni Almoni is all about. Being a Ploni Almoni means you don't live up to the responsibilities of Rabim Tzrichim Lo. Being a Ploni Almoni means you want to live a life of anonymity. And the question has to be asked, what's so bad about being anonymous? Well, let me quote you a piece from Rabbi Lam. Rabbi Lam, in an essay he wrote, probably an old drasha called The Varieties of Anonymity, makes the following statement, which I think sheds a lot of light on the character who is Ploni Almoni. Says Rabbi Lamb, finally, the fifth variety of anonymity is that of fear, or better, cowardice. Anonymity is often the cloak of the spineless and gutless. Related to this form of cowardly anonymity is the anonymous letter writer. As a public figure, it has not been unusual for me in the course of years to receive an occasional anonymous letter. I confide to you. How many of us have had that happen? Where somebody gets a note. One of my kids has this problem all the time. She's always getting notes from somebody anonymously. And I keep telling her, somebody who doesn't have the guts to write a note for real, it doesn't have to have her opinion understood. Says Rabbi Lamb, I confide to you, I never pay attention to them. I never try to figure out who the writer is. Never try to decipher his handwriting or discern how he changes style or punctuation or spelling in order to disguise his identity. I just don't care. People who do not have the courage of their convictions and are not willing to engage in serious dialogue do not deserve to have others listen to their monologue. I consider them nothing but pathetic. And yet, says Rabbi Lamb, I recognize that it's often difficult for a person to voice criticism and place himself squarely behind it. Sometimes I think that the anonymous letter writer is revealing his true identity, as symbolized by his anonymity, namely nothing, the absence of personality, or better yet, the absence of character. The anonymous letter has the same value as a check signed by anonymous. So, I think these last couple of words of Rabbi Lamb, as powerful as they are, and they are unbelievably powerful, really bespeaks Ploni Almoni well. He seems to be the individual who, for some reason, is identified as a person who gets a chance to be Rabbi Mtsrichimlo. And unfortunately, he turns around, and he appears to be a coward. His name might have been Tov, but his actions don't bespeak of a Tov. His actions, or lack thereof, bespeak of a person who prefers anonymity, because he is a coward. Rabbi Teichtel, the famous author of the Ema Banim Smecha, in his Drashas Mishnah Sachir, also identifies and addresses Ploni Almoni. In sources number 9 and 10, and each one is more powerful than the other, so I brought you both pieces. But for the sake of brevity and time, I'll just really read the first one. V'chenasar Boaz, shalakach es Rus, v'holid mimena es Mashiach Tzidkenu. The same thing happened with Boaz, who married Rus, and turned around and gave birth to Mashiach. V'rashi pirish pen ashchises nachlasi zari. Rashi explains, what does it mean that he was worried that he might destroy his nachala? That means his children, k'mo nachlas Hashem banim. Lases pegam bezari hare. And there's where the line is underlined in source 9. Dehach goel haya ein frumer. This goel was a real frum guy. Shaya yari lakachas es rusu lehatzmiach es oro shel Mashiach. He was afraid to marry Rus and go ahead and bring about Mashiach. Pen yigrom al yada begam lebanav. He was worried that what are people going to say? They're going to say bad? Okay, it's not good. Don't say bad. Don't say bad. V'amar lo'uchal ligol pen ashchises nachlasi. V'aposok ha'eshimo al kach. The posok finds him guilty and punishes him on this matter. V'gmo shekasev Rashi al Ploni Almoni. That's what Rashi says about Ploni Almoni. V'lonechtav shmo, his name Ploni Almoni is not mentioned. Why? Because, says Rashi, l'fi shelo aval ligol. Because he didn't want to go ahead and redeem. Ashahaisa ta'anaso b'tzido pen ashchises nachlasi. Since he had the opportunity to say, I'm going to destroy my nachala, afal pikei neheshimo akasuv shelo asatov. Why? And I hope I do justice to Rabbi Teichtel's Yiddish. Yan dartvai es handled nizich legalos oiru shel Mashiach, turmanicht zinken nir unkumen mit frumkeit. Says Rabbi Teichtel, when we are involved with revealing the secret, the light of Mashiach, we can't be too frum. Later on, he makes the same point in source number 10 in regard to Chibas Haaretz. When we come with a concern, penashchises nachlasi, we don't have a right to do so. We can't be so frum that we can't love Eretz Yisrael. To give up on the light of Mashiach because it's not frum to have it is a dangerous nature. Ploni Almoni first worries about himself, and he doesn't think about the repercussions of his actions, and it causes him a major failure. He has the opportunity to come out of the place of Ploni Almoni, the place where to step onto the center stage with the spotlight on him, to be the one for whom we declare, Hinei Huba, he's here. And it's an opportunity to create a tov. And Ploni Almoni fails. He has a chance because Tzarchei Rabim Teluyim Bo, because the needs of the masses are on him, and he does not step up to the plate. And this is the failure that leaves him nameless. He gets the chance to say, ta-da! And he goes and disappears in the process. And he fails. And I want to suggest that he fails on four major levels. And all of them connect back to the phrase Ploni Almoni. He fails in his name. Why is that? So the Malbim explains in source number 11 that the name Ploni Almoni, Ratzalomer, Shiyeshim Chadavar Pela, you have a chance to create wonderment. How many Jews get that opportunity in life to step up to the plate? Kimola Fale Neder, Shemor, Abachira Samach Shabbat. Vinyan Almoni, Hainu Kesher, Kimo Malmim Alumim, you have a chance to go ahead and tie up the bundles. Kidavar Min Akesher, Shiyeshloim Gula So. You have a chance to clarify and create, and you give it up. What a danger in life. What a stark contrast to another individual who struggled with the same opportunity in life. You know who I'm referring to. Exactly, Esther Amalka. Take a look at source number 12 for a minute. Esther gets told by Mordechai that you're the one person who can save Judaism. And what does she do? The pasuk says in source number 12, "Vayomer Mordechai lo Hashiv el Esther, Al tidami b'nasheich li malit beis hamelach mikol ayudim." Don't go ahead and think about yourself to run away from the king in the palace. Ki macharish tacharishi beis hazos. If you choose silence, if you choose not to step on the stage of life, revach v'atzala yamod la Yehudim mimakom acher. There will be some sort of safety to the Jews from another place. But you and your family will be lost. Who knows, maybe this is why you were chosen to be queen. You have a chance to step onto that stage. Or in this case, go on. Jews. Says Rav Soloveitchik, this is why we call the Megillah Megillah Esther. Says Rav Soloveitchik in source 12a, it's phenomenal. The Jew should be adult and child, grown up and immature at the same time. When called upon to act as divine agent, to be a history maker, the Jew must be mature, courageous, and intellectually developed. When a person has a chance to be a person who is Hagoel, then the person has to step up to the plate. Still at the same time, says Rav Soloveitchik, when it's time to pray, the Jew must shed his maturity and reach out for either the enthusiasm or the grief of the child. Now the woman, says Rav Soloveitchik, is more of an expert in playing this double role. Esther performed it magnificently. She knew how to be cunning, but she also knew how to pray. And so therefore the miracle of the Megillah is called Megillas Esther. I submit before you that Ploni Almoni fails here. He also has a chance to create a geula, to save an entire Jewish nation, to shape Jewish destiny. But he doesn't step up to the plate to do so. He doesn't take the chance. And for that he failed at achieving his name. And what he leaves over is not tov. I also want to suggest that he failed his family. Remember, who is his family? Nachshon ben Aminadav. Who is the family of Nachshon ben Aminadav? Says the Medrash in Source 13, Sosa Gemara and Sota. Amar Behuda Rebbe Loik, Shamdu Yisrael alayam, Hayu Ashvatim Midainim Eila im Eila. When the Bnei Yisrael was standing on the shores of the Yamsuf, the Shvatim were fighting with one another. Zeomer ani yorei tchila, v'zeomer ani yorei tchila. Each one was saying that each one wanted to go in first. What happened? You know the story. Kafatz Nachshon l'soch galei hayam. Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the waves. V'yarad, and he went down first. V'alav amar David, there he is again. Then David HaMelech said about him, Hoshieni Elokim kibo mayim ad nafesh. Save me, God. The waters have gotten to me. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, Yedidai shokea beyam, that my beloved one is drowning in the sea. He did something. V'yatam ispalal, and you're just praying? Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Speak to b'nei Yisrael and tell him to move. Having no to be Huda Elokim, what does Nachshon achieve at that point in time? Nachshon achieves the awareness of God within Yehuda. Ulefichach Egdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shmo Shal Nachshon BeYisrael. That's why Nachshon was rewarded. He was the first one allowed to bring a karban on behalf of his shvatim. But listen to the language of the Medrash. No da Shmo BeYisrael. When you step up to the plate in order to do, you are recognized. And as a result, Higdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemo Shel Nachshon. It would stand to reason that if you get a chance to step up to the plate and you step out of that opportunity, then your name gets wiped away. Ploni Almoni should have learned the lesson of Nachshon ben Aminadav, his father or his grandfather, depending on which version you learn. He should have taken the chance, as Rav Teichtel says, and he fails. He has a chance to go ahead and do the ultimate chesed, the chesed that is the hallmark of the Book of Rus. As we see in Source 14, Amar of Zeira, Megillah zu ein ba lo tumah v'lo tara, lo isa v'lo heter, v'lama nichtava l'lameid kama gadols, kama schar tov, l'gomlei chasadim. One can see how good God gives it to those who are gomel chesed, to those who understand l'misha tzarchei rabim taluyim bo. Those people get mentioned in the Book of Rus. The whole purpose of Megillas Rus is for those who understand that message. Boaz gets it. Rus gets it. Naomi gets it. Even Arpa is thanked by Naomi. Yas Elokim imachen chesed, kasher asisem imameisim imadi. Who is the one in the Megillah who does not demonstrate this awareness of chesed? It's none other than Ploni Almoni. And so he fails the Book of Ruth as well. I'd like to suggest that this one other failure, and with this I think we need to go back to the Book of Malachim again, the other Makom, Ploni Almoni. You see, I think Ploni Almoni also fails the test of Jewish destiny. And what is that? Listen to a comment of the Rokeach. It says the Rokeach, Nechaber HaMasoris, right? Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ilu Omer LeMashiach Torah. Shavu Po Ploni Almoni. It's in the future, God will tell the Melech HaMashiach to rise up. Sit here, Ploni Almoni. Klomar, where is Ploni Almoni? B'Yerushalayim Teishev Shamashkon Shchinasi. V'zeo Mekom Ploni Almoni Techonasi. He's going to tell him that the Yerushalayim, that's the place, that's going to be my stop. That's the Makom Ploni Almoni Zu Yerushalayim. Techonasi Zu Chaniasi. The word Techonasi means that that's the place I'm going to encamp. V'sham Yikbetzu Yisrael, that's where all of Ham Yisrael will gather. V'sa Na'arim Midayati El Makom Ploni Almoni Ha'Na'arim Elu Yisrael. Kinar Yisrael Va'Avaheu. The fact of the matter is, that place of Ploni Almoni is a place of Rabim Tzrichim Lo. Ploni Almoni appears twice in Tanakh, and both times they're references to a place that the masses are needed. They're both places of great Gedula. There is a hint in Ploni Almoni. There's a hint to the anonymous man. There are times that you're told to step up to the plate. And in those times, yes, there are challenges that come to your family, to your destiny, but there are lessons from family and destiny to be learned. There are times that a person is supposed to ask a shaila from a horah, but then matetzake lai daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. There's a time to say, I'm done with the speaking. Now there's a call to action. The secret of Pliny Almoni's involvement in the Megillah is to teach us not to be side, is to have the courage not just to be fans of Megillah's Rus, but rather to be encouraged to be the characters of Megillah's Rus. Not to be selfish selflessness, but rather to be people who exist in life, whether in the past or in the present, step up to the plate, to realize that the only way Geula happens is when we step up to the plate in order to make it happen. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that wisdom, and give us the opportunity to get back to his Makom, Pliny Almoni, Techon Nasi, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu make sure Shana'ale L'Tzion Berina, with each of us understanding our rightful place and our rightful role.